2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'll promise you this morning is going to provoke your thought. And you'll enjoy that. And I think it'll be beneficial. Anything out of God's Word that provokes our thought is a good thing. Because we find out it's more than just a book. It is, in fact, the Word of God. And a living Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. It's not expedient, it's not suitable, it's not becoming, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. By the way, I'll go ahead and tell for those of you that may be new here, new in this particular passage here, he's talking about himself. Isn't that odd that a guy would say, I knew a man above 14 years ago, but he's talking about himself. Now watch this. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now notice these words. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one, look at this, caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. And again he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine own infirmities. For, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me, and so that's the reference back to who he's talking about, that he would think of himself, of Paul, of me, above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Why would he be exalted? Because of what he's heard, what he's seen, what he's experienced. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This morning I wish to call your attention to something that, quite honestly, I feel very, very inadequate to discuss. And for that purpose, I'm going to try to just kind of go slow as the Lord will allow me, to try to give you a thirst and a hunger for what God's Word is going to show us this morning. I feel very inadequate to discuss. Nonetheless, I feel this morning that it is God's will. The subject is one which can bring about a variety of thoughts, opinions, and stirred emotions. From non-belief to intrigue or interest to outright fear. And many of these things we see in this passage here in our text. The subject at hand this morning, the subject the Lord's leading me to deal with, is the subject of the existence of a spiritual realm. The spiritual realm. The existence of a spiritual realm. Now that's a unique subject, isn't it? Paul said he was caught up to something. He saw something. He heard something. God allowed him to enter into, to see a spiritual realm. That is, when I say the spiritual realm, that angelic heavenly realm of existence that is filled with activity and which I personally believe is taking place all around us. It's just we are not permitted to see it as a rule. I believe it's taking place all around us. It is that as a rule, we're not permitted to look into that area. And for good reason. When I think about science fiction movies, I think about what we're talking about here this morning. But see, it's not. This is not sci-fi. It's real. It's real. It's not a movie. It's very real. It's biblical. It's theological. It's the study. You know, sometimes we use the word pneumatology or the study of the Holy Spirit's what that's talking about. But it's a spiritual realm, a spiritual existence. That is all very, very real. Do you realize that God's Word records many times this realm and has even allowed some to peek into it, the spiritual realm? It's amazing. It's amazing. When we think about heaven, someone said, where's heaven? Is it up? And no, the Bible speaks about heaven. We know in Revelation we saw the new heaven. Paul says he was called up into heaven. I don't know. He doesn't really know what happened. He just knows he saw something. But I don't know but what the existence of heaven as we know it now, not the new heaven that John saw coming down, but is there right now. And in essence, possibly, very possibly, because I don't know, when a person dies, they actually step over into that spiritual realm. So, I'm just telling you, in this subject, I feel so much that I'm in way over my head. But it's real. I don't know everything about it, but it's real. It is there. Paul, here in our text, notice some things about those that's entered into this, that's been able to view this realm. He says words like, whether in the body or out of the body, he don't know. But he did declare that God knows. In other words, he's saying, I don't know what I saw. I don't know how I got there. I don't know how it happened. But I know that it happened. He saw it. He, in that realm, he heard words. Verse number 4 says he was caught up and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He was given an indication that he can't repeat. I don't know. He said, I can't repeat it. There's the unwillingness to discuss it. Paul said in verse 6, he said, though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. In other words, he said, I know what happened to me, but man, whenever I try to tell people what happened to me, I don't understand it myself. I feel like a fool. Because he saw into something that God had allowed him to see. An unwillingness to talk about it. The fact that he knew sounded unbelievable. And so he wouldn't want to talk about it. The knowledge of such, listen, the knowledge, and maybe this is why the Lord's allowed me to talk about this or discuss about it or bring it this morning. Because when a person acknowledges the existence of such a place, it tends to change you. When you recognize that that thing exists, when you recognize there's a spiritual realm taking place all around us, that tends to change you. That's what happened to Paul. Because ever since that point, for some reason, God sent him that thorn in the flesh that he prayed thrice that the Lord would remove it. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. It changed him. It changed him. This spiritual realm. Other areas of God's Word, I think I love to talk about it. And I'm telling you, there's a lot more than I can imagine, a lot more than I can share with you this morning. But think about Jacob when he was on the run from his brother and he lighted up on a certain place. We know after he had the night there that he called it Bethel. But do you remember what he saw? He saw in a vision the angels of God ascending and descending. A ladder stretched up into heaven and the angels of God are going up and down that, up and down that. What were they doing? Hebrews tells us that angels are ministers for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Angels in that angelic world, they're working on our behalf. They're working as our ministers. In that spiritual realm, they're working there. I think about, listen, what about this? In Hebrews 13, verse number 1 and 2, that verse 2 says what is it talking about? The Hebrews, well, let me get over and read it. about entertaining angels unawares. Take heed, I believe is how it starts. There, verse number 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Listen to this. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Angels. Angels, that part of that spiritual realm to come into our view, and we have been with them and have possibly not even known it. But they're there. Elisha, thinking about this, what about Elisha in 2 Kings chapter number 6? I think it was last week or two, we had this in our Sunday school lesson, but Elisha there, his servant, was there, and the enemy had come, and they were going to kill Elisha because he was telling the king where they had set up their camps, and the king would be destroyed. And so the enemy king came in, they were coming to kill him, and the servant of Elisha saw him. And he goes in crying, no doubt fretting and worried, and said, "Alas, master, what shall we do, or how shall we do?" Remember what Elisha said? The Bible says Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes. And the Bible says a servant of God touched his eyes, and he was able to see the mountains filled with the host of heaven surrounding the enemy. They were there. That servant didn't see him. Elisha saw him. See, the knowing that place, that realm is there, it changes the way you live. It changes everything. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter number 8, turn over there if you will, Ezekiel chapter number 8. And by the way, in case for some of you visitors, listen, I probably ought to, but I just want to tell you, I'm not getting my thoughts from a book other than the Bible, amen? I'm not reading after Dr. Spock. I'm not reading after those other people. I don't know what people believe. I know there's a lot of diversities about angels and all that kind of stuff. I'm just reading the Bible to you. And the Bible says, Ezekiel chapter number 8, verse number 1, it came to pass in the sixth year of the sixth month, and the fifth day of the month. That sounds like they want you to know exactly when it happened. That, the Bible says, I sat by mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, look at this, a likeness as of the appearance of fire from the appearance of his... And then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as of the color of amber. And the Bible says, and he put forth the form of an hand. So here he is, he's seeing his vision, this image of a person standing there, or glory standing there, puts forth the form of a hand, and he took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seed of the image of jealousy which provoketh to jealousy. Behold, the glory of God, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes and the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? He's taking Ezekiel to a place, to that realm where he's actually, I believe, in that spiritual realm, looking at what's taking place in the physical realm. They don't see him. He's there. Oh, boy, amen, or oh me. See, when you understand this truth, it means something when you read words like, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. See, when you understand this type of teaching, you understand that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers. Because it's very close to us. And here, God had taken him to that place. He brought me to the door of the court. And I went and looked, behold, a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. He said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. God allowed him in that spiritual realm, into that area, and saw exactly what was going on. Again, amen or oh me. It's very real. The Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter number 17, the Lord was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And one thing that they took note of and that they recorded in both instances was that Elijah and Moses appeared and they talked together. They talked. Jesus, being the Son of God, had the ability to step in and out of a spiritual realm. And Luke chapter 24, when the Bible says he vanished out of their sight, I believe that's what he did. He stepped into that spiritual realm. Man can't see into that unless God allows him to. Very interesting. It's there. It is there. How about Job chapter number 1, when we find that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also was there. This activity that's going on. And those dreaded words, according to Job, I bet you, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" I bet that wasn't on Job's idea. That discussion taking place in the spiritual realm. That is there. And again, I personally believe is before us. We just are not allowed to see it. And that's my personal opinion. Amen. Peter, in Acts chapter number 10, we notice that a sheet was let down out of heaven, being filled with all sorts of what he considered to be unclean animals. And they obviously were moving about. He saw them moving about. The Lord said, "Kill and eat." So he was there. He was able. And I think that's what it is. There's like a veil that separates what we see from that spiritual realm. Doesn't mean it's not there, it's just we can't look through that. But it is there nonetheless. Paul's record in 2 Corinthians 12, I just read as our opening text. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, they're talking about the last days before the rapture takes place. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember the Bible says the angel can even appear as an angel of light. Here's what's going on. This is talking about Satan, or if you will, that Antichrist. He says, verse number 5, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" And notice verse number 6. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already now work." The mystery. That mystery is talking about that invisible activity that's taken place. It's already at work. "Only he who now letteth will let." He who now letteth. That is, the word "let" there is a unique word, but it means he that is keeping back or holding back or keeping away. He who now letteth, he who now is keeping it from coming to pass, keeping it from happening right now, will continue to do that until the Lord says it's time. But my point is, that's going on right now. It's happening right now. There is that struggle, that battle, that war raging, that activity, that working taking place, and I believe right close to us, we just don't see it. God is not allowing us to see it. So it's taking place. John's the one, the writer of the book of Revelation. Look there in Revelation chapter number 1. I love it. John's there on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Christ's sake. There it is, for he was being persecuted. He's on Patmos. And he hears a rustling going on and activity taking place somewhere. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 9, I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said this in verse 10, I was in the Spirit. See, that's it. God allowed him to step out of this physical realm into the spiritual realm. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So he's there. Now watch this. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a great voice. As of a trumpet. Goodness gracious. Can you imagine that? Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw these various things there. Verse number 19, he's commanded there to write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in the right hand. He goes on and talks about those, but that happened. It happened on the Isle of Patmos. God opened up his eyes that he could see it. Isn't that amazing? In Revelation, down toward the end, another passage here, John is there and he's seeing, of course he saw all of these things being revealed in the book of Revelation. In chapter number 19, verse number 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And the Bible says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, this voice, this angel that he saw, he says, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And verse 10 says, and I fell at his feet to worship. But notice this. Fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, this person that he saw in that spiritual realm, he said unto me, see thou do it not. But notice this. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. You know what he said? That angel said, I'm not the one to be worshipped. I'm just an angel. I'm just a servant. I'm a fellow servant. John saw him, and it was such a sight that he thought this must be God, but it wasn't God. And that angel said, no, don't worship me. Stand up. Stand up. I'm just like you are in the eyes of God. We're just servants of God. But it was taking place right there. John was permitted to see it. Oh, my goodness. Where do we stop? Think about the plagues that came upon Egypt by God. Think about what the Egyptians saw as they were chasing after the children of Israel, and God pulled back the cloud, and they saw God and were destroyed. The angelic realm that's taking place all around us, the work that's taking place all around you, it's amazing. It's amazing. We talked about the stories of how God had brought about great miracles. Gideon's 300. You know why it doesn't make sense when we see what happened there? When we read that story, you know why it doesn't make sense to us? Because the spiritual realm was at work. They just obeyed God, and God kicked in, and he'd done his work. The fact where those four leprous men who went in to see they were going to throw themselves at the mercy of the Assyrians, and they were all gone because God had done a work. It is there. It is there. Now think about the word when you read stories about Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. And he was not. For God took him. What about Elijah? And they saw a great chariot of fire come down. Elijah got on board. He's gone. It's there. It's there. The spiritual realm. And again, like I said, I'm way over my head with this subject. But knowing that exists, I promise you, will make a difference in your life. You know, aren't we admonished? Look not on things of the earth, on things that are temporal. Considers the things of the earth as things that are temporal. But there are eternal things. Where do you think that is? That's in that spiritual realm. I think about how when old Belshazzar saw the form of a hand come down and that writing on the wall, it said you've been found, you've been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. Spiritual realm. The visions of Ezekiel and those men of God and the images that they saw. The spiritual realm. I believe that these battles, these communications, this activity, these movements, as I said, are taking place all around us. We simply cannot see them. Why? Because it is a God-ordained boundary of separation. It's God-ordained boundary of separation between the spiritual realm and the fleshly or the physical realm. Now listen to me very carefully this morning. Because I know this is why a lot of people have problems. Sometimes we want to kind of look into that. Sometimes we want to kind of get to know more than what God wants us to know about that. So listen to me very carefully as I give you this warning. While it is clear that God does want us to be aware that that realm exists, God is also very clear that He doesn't want us delving into it. You hear me this morning? Some people like to delve into the spiritual aspect in the sense of playing in areas that they do not belong in. I'll give you, for instance, horoscopes, palm readers. Tarot card people. Toying around with witchcraft. So God wants us to know that that realm does exist. But He's also very clear that you have no business searching for it. Can you handle that? I say that because it's very interesting. And to some, like the human flesh tends to do, they think they can handle that kind of stuff and they get into it and they find themselves loaded up with a bunch of problems. Bunch of problems that they got to have be cleansed of. So the warning is there. Maybe that's why you don't hear many people talk about it very often, because it is such an intrigue, such a draw. You know it's there to be able to see if there's some way you can look into it. No. Just know it's there. So God wants us to stay away from it. He dissuades the toying, if you will, of the subject. Remember in Acts chapter number 19, we have the story of the sons of Sceva. These folks had saw what Paul had done and the miracles that he had done, and they thought, man, I'm going to try that. So they called in all these people that had demons, and And they started calling on the name of the Lord over the top of them, and they found out they were well outnumbered and outmanned, and those demons jumped on them and nearly killed them, and they ended up running, fleeing for their lives. They don't belong in that realm. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter number 18, Deuteronomy 18, verse number 9, and this is the instruction of when they head into that land that God is going to give them. There in Deuteronomy 18, verse number 9, the Bible says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. What abominations? He's going to tell us. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses, watch his word, divination, casting of spells. He said, don't get involved with divination. Don't get involved with the observers of time. Hey, the astrologers, reading the stars. That's part of the horoscope type stuff. You know you're supposed to stay away from that stuff? Because God has done something in that, but that He has done is none of your business. You need to stay out of that. Because you're getting into the spiritual realm, you don't belong there. You're not made for that. You're not suited for that. And why did God say that? Because I believe there's an evilness to it. There's an evilness coupled with some truth. The thing is, you don't know the difference many times. You think you're dealing with something good and you ain't doing nothing but flirting with the devil. What about the legion? Remember the Lord come in, that man was in the tombs crying and cutting himself? See, Jesus had that ability. He could do that. You can't. You can't. Sometimes in people, especially in the charismatic churches, I mean, I'm talking about the spirit of the stop sign, the spirit of the red light, the spirit of that building, the spirit of sickness, the spirit of this, the spirit of that. Man, it's spiritism to the max. Leave that stuff alone. Because you don't belong there. You don't belong there. We walk in the Spirit. I think that walking in the Spirit is walking, understanding that God is at work around me. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so there's that. He said here, divination, observer of times, an enchanter, or a witch. Notice verse 11. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You don't belong there. You're to stay away from it. You're to stay away from it. Because all of these things, witchcraft and soothsaying and all that stuff, you know what that's doing? That is bumping up into that spiritual realm. It's very dangerous and even deadly to get involved with that. Indians, I mean, you got your little dream catchers hanging up. You think so? That's some sort of cute little arts and crafts stuff? That's toying. That would be included in that list there that I just read to you. Witchcraft. Spiritism. We don't belong in that. Who's with me?
Amen.
The reason God established that bound and He dissuades us is because we simply cannot, we are not made for that. We do not belong there. And if, in fact, for some reason God allows us to see into that realm, we ought to leave it at that and don't say nothing else about it. You'll be a lot better off. You go try to tell somebody what God has showed you and you'll be like Paul said, I look like a fool. I would not be a fool. I'm telling you the truth, but if I talked about it, I'd look like a fool. Yeah, you would. So according to the Word of God and the fact that it does exist, God admonishes us to stay away from it, then it should suffice us to know that it's merely there. And kind of getting down now to another aspect, is the reason. What's going on? What's being dealt with in that life? The reason for its existence is the carrying out of God's will concerning you and I. You know what the main objective is in that realm? You and me. You and me. Isn't that something? We're not permitted to see it, but we are the subject of that realm. We are the subject. That somewhere, right now, beyond the scope of our perception and comprehension, is a war being waged on our behalf. That's pretty neat stuff. That's neat stuff. A fierce battle in which you and I are the primary objectives. What is so valuable about me, and what is so valuable about you that this great battle rages on? What is this will of God concerning me? Well, there's another part of God's Word that I want to call your attention to that will deal with some of these. And there's no way I'm going to have time to do it. Let me go ahead and have you turn there, and I just want to whet your appetite for just a minute. In Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7. I believe if anyone could share with you and I about this spiritual realm, it would be Daniel. Daniel's a great man. Verse number 1 of Daniel chapter number 7 says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw my vision by night, and behold, these various things that he saw. And he goes down and describes what he saw. Then in verse number 15, notice these words, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He said, I came near, in this realm that he was, I came near unto one of them that stood by, and I asked him, check that out, he's communicating. I asked him the truth of all this, and so he told me. He made me know the interpretation of the things, his vision. Look in chapter number 8, verse number 1. Again, third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. I saw in a vision, it came to pass, when I saw that I was in Shushan the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw the vision, and I was by the river Ulai. I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram. And so he has this vision, and If you want to take time to read it, you'll find it that what he saw was a battle that was raging. It was going on. He was permitted to look into it. And a battle that was raging right there before him. And as we go on, we find that verse number 13, I heard a saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice? And they're communicating between one another and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. He said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. I, Daniel, even seen the vision and sought for the meaning, and behold, there stood before me the like of appearance of man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel! Boy, that's one of the big names. That's the big name. Gabriel. He saw Gabriel, and he heard this voice that called and said, Gabriel, make this man. There he is. There's Daniel in here. I'm over here. I'm involved in the battle. Gabriel, if you would, step over there and let him know what's going on. It's amazing. It's amazing. And Gabriel steps over. He said he heard that. So he came near in verse number 17, and you can always tell if God allows you to look into the spiritual realm, because about every time this is the response. He came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid, and I fell upon my face. And he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. You know what that means, don't you? He was out like, he was so overwhelmed with what he saw and what was going on that he absolutely collapsed. And he said, behold, but he touched me, and the Bible says he set me upright. He said, behold, I'll make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Then at the end, verse number 26, the vision of the evening and morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business and was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. That's amazing. It's amazing. For this morning's sake, I just want you to know that there is so much activity taking place around you. And you are the purpose. And it is God's plan. One of the main reasons that that's taken place is the will of God concerning your salvation. There's not a battle being fought just for the sake of fighting a battle. Daniel's told several times that he is greatly beloved by the angel. What does it mean? Does it mean the angel loves him? No. The angel's a servant of God. God loves him. The reason that battle's taking place is because God loves you. God wants you to be saved. And the realm, the spiritual realm, is working in your life and has been working in your life to bring you to a place of salvation, that you'd be saved. Have you ever taken time to consider all that went into you being brought to a place of salvation? You ever thought about that? Whew. Think about where you were when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And then think about all that went into bringing you to that place. Maybe it was in jail. Maybe it was at a mission. Possibly in a church. Maybe you were at work and someone shared the gospel with you. Maybe you were at home. You were left behind. You didn't go with the rest of the family. But lo and behold, somebody came by the church, from the church. Maybe you were living in a place you didn't want to live, but God had you there. And all of that working, that you would be at that place where you could hear the gospel and be saved. Do you think that's coincidence? It is not coincidence. When you read words like David wrote in Psalm 139, thou hast beset me before and behind. What do you think he's talking about? God saw where he was going and had already prepared the way that would bring him into that place. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Whither shall I go from thy presence? Can't. Because you can't run from that spiritual realm. God's at work in your life. Think about all that went into you coming to a place of salvation. All the twists and turns of life that are absolutely not coincidental. Remember the words in Daniel 4. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of what I'm talking about this morning, the Bible will change for you. But think about these words. The Lord God ruleth in the kingdom of men. He giveth it to whomsoever he will. You say, You say, I'm pleased with the president we have, or I'm not pleased with the president we have. How much do you think you had a part in that? Because the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and his rivers of water he turneth it whithersoever he will. Because he's at work. And you who are not saved this morning, I'm going to ask you to consider your life. Listen to me. Your life with all of its ups and downs, its heartaches and pains, its influences, both good and bad. All of these to bring you to where you are right now. Maybe first time realizing from God's Word that there is another world out there. There is another realm out there. And the only way you can have eternal life, the only way you'll be suited for God's heaven, is to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your sins. That means you must receive Him as your Savior. And perhaps you can look at your life and realize that God has brought you through the workings of that spiritual realm to this place right now, the place perhaps that you would see as a place for your salvation. The Philippian jailer, think about where he was when he got saved. Think about the woman at the well, John chapter number 4. One of my favorites, John chapter number 9. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? You know what the Lord said? Neither. But that the works of God should be made manifest. Can you see this morning? That there's a work going on all around you. And one of the primary goals is to bring you to a point where you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can you hear His voice this morning? Will you be saved this morning? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.